Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Monday morning. Yesterday, Jets and Dolphins field goal a palooza at MetLife Stadium, and the Jets walk away victors, and the feeling around the team so different with them winning that game and losing that game. But really, that wasn't what yesterday was about. There was great football happening all over the place. The Bills and Ravens, the 49ers and Saints later in the day with the Chiefs and Patriots. And I have not been screaming about the officials as much as everybody this year, because I just feel like every single year it's part of the deal. Like, you're going to get screwed a bunch of times. You're going to be the benefit of the other team getting screwed a bunch of times. And there's never going to be an answer. However, yesterday was tough to take. And it, the reason it's tough to take is because there's no consistency. And now this pass interference review that you couldn't get one of these things overturned if you held an official by gunpoint, now all of a sudden that's changed. And if I'm a head coach, and I'm Brian Flores, and I'm Bill Belichick, I am calling the league the second that I wake up. I roll over, I hit the snooze button, and then I dial Al Riveron and say, "You schmuck, you're killing me! You're killing me and my team!" Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing a lot better than you are, obviously. But you're right. I mean, it wasn't just those two games. There were games all over the league yesterday, as there are every week, where there are just mind-bogglingly inconsistent calls. And that's the thing that really frustrates everybody. So you have a call in the Jet game that gets overturned by the replay office because it's under 2 minutes, and Brian Flores is going to have an aneurysm on the sideline, and yeah. I get it, right? I totally get where he's coming from, because I guarantee you there's probably five or six times, if not more, during the season, the same thing has happened to them, and they did not get the benefit of the replay review from Park Avenue. I guarantee it. And then later on in the day, you see Philip Dorsett basically get mauled at the five-yard line, right, of the New England Patriots. And because it's outside of 2 minutes, and because Bill Belichick has used both of his challenges and didn't get one back, he can't challenge that play, and that play stands. So that's the inconsistency part of it. Like, where the NFL fan is like, okay, that's obviously pass interference. We all know what clear and obvious is. But there's only one arbiter of all of that, and that's Al Riveron down here.
And it's changed, and his opinion has changed, yes, which is the bigger problem. So beginning of the season, first 4 or 5 weeks, you know, a defensive back could be stabbing a wide receiver. Something doesn't get called. They review it. Doesn't get overturned. Now, all of a sudden, you're getting buzzed down from the top to review pass interference under 2 minutes, and they're actually overturning the thing at a critical point in a game where there's a win or loss. I mean, that's why I think head coaches, if it would have stayed the same, where none of these things were going to get reviewed and overturned unless it was something like a playoff game like we saw with the Saints, you know, that'd be one thing. But that's not. I mean, and this is why the NFL, like last year or 2 years ago with the Patriots and Eagles, how a catch changed in the postseason.
That's right. And, you know, that was Gene Steratore, by the way, who refereed that Super Bowl game. And I think it was Corey Clement, I think
it's
his name,
right? Yes, that's right.
So he goes through the end zone with a kind of a catch that's sliding through his hands. The Patriots defensive backs were all signaling incomplete, incomplete, incomplete. Because they had seen that happen earlier when they played Buffalo that season. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you get to the playoffs. And now there's a conversation between Gene Steratore, the referee, and the replay review guys, Al Riveron. And they're having this discussion. And Gene Steratore, you know, was like, "Dude, I am not overturning this. This is a touchdown in my eyes."
Yeah.
And, you know, I will say that Gene Steratore is a Western PA guy. The only reason I say that is because he's grown up around football his entire life. And he understands the game of football. Mm-hmm. Now, you may not like him as a broadcaster. I like him because I sit there and I can get really deep into the weeds with him, and I can understand where the officials are coming from. I don't want to sit here and dump on them all the time, but it seems like every week we get to this point, and games are officiated differently from game to game to game. Mm-hmm. So when I'm sitting there at CBS and we have 10 games on, and we're watching the games, and I see one play overruled, and it's called pass interference or whatever, and then another play in another game that looks almost absolutely the same way does not get called because it's outside of 2 minutes or the coach has lost his replay flags, I'm like, so the games are being officiated differently depending on the circumstance.
Yeah, which is really, really tough to take when you're a head coach and you're a fan and you're watching these games. And the biggest thing, like what you think when you have a day like yesterday, you think, all right, what's really important here? What's important here is that you've got certain teams that we're talking about seeding. We're talking about home field or maybe not home field. We're talking wild card weekend, maybe a bye. You've got that. And from a fan standpoint, one thing that we didn't want to see, whether you were a Rams fan, Saints fan, football fan, was the wrong team going to the Super Bowl because of a terrible call. And now I think there is more fertile ground for that to happen again than there was before they changed things after what happened last year.
It certainly feels that way. And I, you know, as somebody who's been living and breathing this now for 20 years and watching it and commenting on it, It's just really frustrating. I mean, and yesterday, you know, we all were watching a Patriots game, and, you know, nobody feels sorry for the Patriots. The Patriots have gotten their share of calls over the years. We all know that. But honestly, I mean, you have the Travis Kelce fumble where they blow the whistle. That probably was going to be a scoop and score. If not, maybe at worst down by the 15 or 10-yard line.
That's the most egregious. You know, forget about
The most egregious one was the N'Keal Harry one on the sideline where he catches the pass, does not step out of bounds. Bill Belichick has lost his challenges because they misread one of the replays, and that one should have been a touchdown. So those two plays actually came essentially within the same set of downs, meaning that if Stephon Gilmore would have scored, they would have kicked off to the Kansas City Chiefs. However, they got the ball on offense. At least they got that part of it right. And they did go down and they did score, but that score was nullified by the missed call by the referee, so they had to settle for a field goal.
Well, here's another inconsistent thing. I thought these guys were trained and taught, these officials,
don't blow the whistle, right?
To not blow the whistle. When there's a shred of doubt, an ounce of doubt, don't blow the whistle. And then see what happens, because we know once you blow the whistle, play's dead, can't review it, and then all of a sudden you got what you got. I mean, how many times have we seen this year? I mean, it's been 3-4 times where you've had a turnover that, you know, wasn't a turnover. I forget the game specifically. It was a quarterback, or no, it was the punter. Remember, it was like a fake punt, and the punter got laid out. And then he actually got the first down, but he fumbled the ball, and then they called him down and blew the whistle. I might have been a Browns game. I don't even remember. But these things happen all the time.
That's one where Bill Belichick had to use a challenge flag because they blew the whistle early, and that's one of the reasons why he didn't have a challenge flag left for the N'Keal Harry touchdown and why he didn't have a challenge flag left for the Philip Dorsett interference call. So, look, again, I'm not sitting here saying that I feel sorry for anybody because I don't, but I do hate the fact that coaches and players feel like they had the game taken away from them because of a couple of bad calls. The other thing, like for instance, in the Kansas City-New England game, Patrick Mahomes is running, and he runs out of bounds, and Dante Hightower throws him to the ground,
yeah,
and he almost hits the heating machine on the sideline.
Yeah, which is, that would be no
Nine
bueno.
Times out of ten, there's a flag on that play,
yeah,
roughing the passer. For some reason, there was no flag on that play. I'm like, how do you not throw the flag on Hightower when he's taking Patrick Mahomes, who's two steps out of bounds already, and you throw him to the ground?
Yeah, I mean, things like that every week, you're scratching your head. I know that there's really no way of it getting better, but the problem that I have now is it's gotten worse. I mean, I was okay with it being just status quo bad, and like you're gonna have to deal with this every week, and it's a tough job, and HD replays, and it's difficult, whatever. But now they have found a way in the offseason to make officiating worse and more confusing with the stupid pass interference thing. And I don't know now. If I'm a head coach, I was told in the beginning of the year, don't you dare throw that challenge flag on a pass interference because we're not going to overturn it. Like, that's just the way it is.
And a lot of coaches probably don't throw it simply because of what you're saying.
And now that's changed. Now I got to start throwing it again.
Yeah, but see, the problem is that under 2 minutes, it changes. Like, now all of a sudden, you are no longer in charge of making that call. Somebody at the stadium is going to buzz down and look at that call.
Now, is that because, like, someone at the stadium is an official, and that official says this could be pass interference?
Yes.
But when it's a coach who throws a challenge flag, it's like challenging the officials, and the officials don't want to say that they're wrong?
But remember, when you're under 2 minutes, the coaches put the challenge flags away.
Yeah, no, I know
so
that.
So now it becomes replay reversal by,
of course,
by the league and by the replay.
But what I'm saying is, like, are the officials more prone to, once they buzz down, make a reversal because it's not the actual coach's challenge? Because if it was the actual coach's challenge, then the officials have to admit fault. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but the guy who makes that decision is the guy in New York.
Right.
Not the guy on the field.
But they're all working together.
Well,
they're
supposedly having a conversation and everything else. But I don't know, man. I saw a couple of calls in the San Francisco and New Orleans game where I could sit here and tell you that New Orleans got screwed again yesterday in their building. I mean, look, and that was an unbelievable game. The Tampa Colt game was an unbelievable game. That was back and forth. Jameis Winston, Patrick Mahomes is going to have his right hand x-rayed today. He hurt his hand yesterday. He played with basically the inability to grip the football yesterday.
Right.
And
it showed up in New England.
They only scored 3 points in the second half. So you could tell he wasn't 100%. But, I mean, it's just you wake up this morning and you're frustrated. I mean, if you're a Jet fan, you're happy. Your team won. You got the 5 wins. You got a really short week now, and you got to go play Lamar Jackson on Thursday night. It's not going to be easy. But they won the game, and Sam Darnold brought him back with the help of a replay.
Mm-hmm.
And they kicked the game-winning field goal. So good for them. Good for Sam Ficken, and good for the Jets that they hung in there and they beat a team that they should have beat at home. Now, it should have been worse than that. I thought, I don't know what's going on with this offense. It goes from scoring 34 points in 3 straight games to barely scoring at all.
Right, in a couple of straight weeks. I mean, it really is amazing how evenly matched these two teams are.
I do think that, believe it or not, I think the Jets are better without Le'Veon Bell on the field, though. I don't know why I feel that way.
Well, but they haven't been forcing Le'Veon Bell the ball, though. I mean, that's one of the things, is you could never really get him going. It's not like they were beholden to. I mean, I remember there's, been years past where you have like a guy like an Adrian Peterson in his prime, and it's like, oh, he's got to get X amount of carries, or we're not doing it right. I don't feel like the Jets have done that with Le'Veon Bell. I mean, but also those times that they scored all those points, he was on the field too.
Yeah, I know. I just, for some reason, he has not got on track, and for the amount of money they're paying him and the impact that has in other areas, I agree with. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, it's just, he's been a model citizen by all accounts, right?
Can you trade the guy, though, really, is what it comes down to?
I don't know if he can, especially with the money that he's due next year.
Who's going to want that? I mean, who's going to want to take on that contract with the season that he's had? They want to tell me that, a team with a great offensive line says we put him behind this offensive line as opposed to what the Jets have, and sort of recreate the Steelers situation with him, and he could be more patient, he could be the guy that he was, then we'll take on that contract. I mean, maybe.
I know, but what I see yesterday, I saw a team that ran the ball 32 times. That's good. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
They stayed with it. They wanted to run the ball, and, it's one of the reasons why maybe they only scored 22 points, but you had to settle for field goals all damn day long, it felt like. But I don't know. They ran the ball yesterday, and Le'Veon Bell was not a part of it.
If I'm Joe Douglas, one of the first things I try to do this offseason is get rid of that contract if I can. I just don't believe that that's a tradable contract. There's just some guys out there that are just difficult to move. But listen, I'm with you. I think that, free up that money.
Yeah, they need offensive linemen. And I know Robbie Anderson had a pretty good game yesterday. If they could get a top-line receiver. But they need offensive linemen.
Oh, yeah. They got to rebuild that offensive line. Yeah.
That damn well, that's exactly what, Douglas is going to do. And you're going to see this offensive line is going to really struggle against Baltimore this weekend, Thursday night, I mean. I mean, you saw what Baltimore's defense did to Josh Allen last night or yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a couple open guys that he missed. I mean, he sometimes gets a little bit too revved up. And he got his team back late and they had a chance to tie it, but still, he did not play good for the 3 quarters against that Baltimore defense.
I tell you, the last 2 weeks, not like the Ravens blew anybody out, but I think the victories that they showed us last week against the Niners and this week up in Buffalo are the most impressive they had all year. I mean, to have that grinded out game against the 49ers and how good they are, and then the last second field goal on a game-winning drive, Then to go up to Buffalo, you know, Buffalo's got extra days. That place is crazy. That's a playoff team. And to be able to go in there and win. I mean, that they're the best team in the NFL right now. I really believe that the Baltimore Ravens are the best team in the NFL. The NFC is stacked. It's much deeper. But the best team resides in the AFC.
I agree with you. And it's all going to go through Baltimore now in the AFC.
Yeah, most likely.
Most likely they have this thing locked up for the number one seed. The question for New England now, they play – New England plays Cincinnati this week in Cincinnati, and then they have Buffalo at home, and then they finish with Miami. The question is, can they hang on to the number two seed and at least get a bye? That's really the big question for them. Kansas City is going to win the West, the most likely going to be the third seed unless New England gets tripped up here somewhere along the line and Kansas City finishes out winning and getting to 12-4.
Yeah, New England's got to win out because, of course, the tiebreaker yesterday went in the favor of the head-to-head of Kansas City. So they've got to win out, basically, is the way it goes. They drop one more and Kansas City ends up winning out. But we'll see what happens with the Mahomes injury. How was that interview, man? I watched it. How was it,
it was behind the scenes?
It
was really great, man. He's a tremendous kid. He's everything that, you know, I would hope that he would have been, you know, from the time that we had him in here back prior to the draft. And what he's grown into is quite the young man. Yeah, I'm sorry, Eddie. It's just the way it is.
Now, I see that the thing is signed there.
Yes, he did sign it, yes.
The Boomer Mahomes picture with
he
the heart.
He remembered it. He didn't remember that it was done in a heart. I said, well, my partners at the radio station gave it to me. Was that a Christmas gift or a birthday gift?
I think it was just a gift.
Just because, a random gift.
Just because gift.
Yeah, so he was great. You know, they got off the plane. Some of the bags went to Jersey, and he came right to the interview, and he was great. He was really engaging, and he was ready for it and look forward to it. It was good.
Well, you got to sign your side of it now to really give it the value. Because as you said, from one MVP to another, you got to both be on there. You have to.
Yeah, man, maybe we'll see.
No, not maybe. You have to.
We'll see.
And then we have to take that out of the studio every day and lock it in your office because someone will take that
Pat
thing.
Pat Boyle will take it?
Oh, of course. Are you kidding me? Right. That thing's valuable right there. Because that's a one-of-a-kind thing.
Yeah, okay.
There's some value there.
It'd be a nice auction item.
It would be.
We're not going to auction that off. That's right there.
The Boomer Esiason Foundation, we could, right?
Well, we're just going to leave it right there. Okay. That's one of those things you just leave right where it is. Don't touch it.
Very good.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.